Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. As for Football's Army Football Show is brought to you by Emblem Athletic. Sign up at emblemathletic.com and be a gear hero for your unit today.
Last couple shows, we have spent talking about all of the games in this coming season. But if you're a true Army fan, you know that none of those really actually matter because the only one that matters is played on December 11th of this year. That's the Army-Navy game. That's what we'll be covering today, in addition to some other late-season games. Welcome back to the As for Football Army Football Show, everyone. I'm your host, Jordan, in Atlanta, Georgia, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and James in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. As a quick reminder, this show is brought to you by Emblem Athletic. Emblem is the source for all your custom sporting goods needs. Let them trick out your unit today, whether that unit is military, police, fire, or flag football. We've got a lot of newly commissioned second lieutenants out in the Army who are about to report to their first unit after Bullock. Friends, if that's you, let me make you a promise. The very first thing they're going to ask you to do when you get to your unit is make new company t-shirts. This does not have to be hard. Just go to emblemathletic.com. Emblem has great stuff, great quality, and their website makes it super easy. Their artists make it easy. You just answer a couple questions, and they lead you through the rest of the process. We used Emblem to create our 2021 season t-shirts. It was super easy. Make sure you check those out on our website and become a gear hero for your unit. Look good, play good, feel good. Emblem Athletic can help. Gentlemen, how are we feeling? Dan, let's go with you first.
I am super happy. The hurricane was supposed to hit Noai 1 mile from our house. That was the initially reported ground zero, which I know if you're in Florida, a category one hurricane is not too scary. But here in Connecticut, where we've got 200-year-old trees, that was going to be an emotional event. At the last minute, however, it shifted off about, 60 to 100 miles to the east. So we had some rain, no big deal. I couldn't be happier.
So that's good. So you weren't impacted, but somebody else got screwed. So
yeah, and I do feel bad for those people, but it doesn't seem like it was too much damage, all things considered.
It's a category one. If it's not a category three or higher, it's not a real hurricane. Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and I have to agree with Jordan. After having several Cat 3s hit the ground and going without power for about a week or two, you're blessed and lucky that nothing did happen. But everything's going well. We still got some gray skies over here, getting some weather effects from Henri, which I still don't understand why we can't just call it Henry. It sounds a lot better. But all is well on this end.
All right, James, how's the Midwest?
Oh, flat and windy. And I'll tell Dan that having spent two hurricane seasons in the Redneck Riviera, perhaps the safest place to be is where the initial forecast says it's going to land, because it's never there.
I'll write that down. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was worried there for a few minutes. I was like, oh, my God, this thing is going to legit hit the house.
There was one that hit our area in Florida, and the initial forecast said it was going to hit Corpus Christi, Texas, and then it hit Pensacola.
Oh, man, that stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, glad everyone's okay. Glad everyone on the show is safe. Gentlemen, we are inside a week for football. And not Army football, but just football in general. We have, Illinois and Nebraska this week. So how are we feeling just in terms of we're almost there. We are 2 weeks from Army Georgia State.
I'm psyched, man. Granted, I got to set my backyard up from scratch because we took everything down, but I couldn't be happier. Like, hoping to have people over both weeks.
All right. James?
I spent last night, when I should have been going to bed, working on my week one Excel document. We'll talk about it more on the roundtable pod, but every week I go through and I set up three TVs and I have like a plan for which game is going to go on which TV. And it's, I send it out to my friends. And if you want to come over for a game, you're more than welcome. So I spent last night setting up my week one Excel sheet and I'm pumped and ready to go.
All right. Rob, are you ready to make the hike down to Hotlanta?
Yeah, ready to hit the road, avoid the traffic and the crazies. I don't know if I can avoid the crazies, but that's basically, generally driving everywhere in the country. But looking forward to hornswoggling my nephew. He's starting his sophomore year in high school, so this is prime time to start actively recruiting him for the Service Academy. So we'll see if he's got the guts to do it. I'm gonna say no. If you want to add that to the over-under on whether or not Rob's nephew decides to go to West Point,
we'll make it a fact of fiction.
Yeah, we can put it some fact of fiction action on that one. But otherwise, yeah, we're looking for it. We're going to do the full Monty, the tailgate in the game, and then we're going to hang out with the fam in Atlanta.
Nice.
That's awesome.
That'll be fun. I will see you at that game, hopefully. I'm not going to the tailgate. I know you are, but you know, mom and dad are driving up from Florida. Well, actually, you know, I'm flying down to watch the UCF Boise State game, and then we're all driving back up to Atlanta to watch Army Georgia State. So should be a good weekend all around. That being said, the team is still in summer camp. Not a lot of official news has come out. Although my inside man, i.e. my younger brother, says that he has no time to be on his phone because he's in classes until lunch, and then he goes to lunch, and then they're at the stadium for the rest of the day, and he gets back to his room around 10 or 10:30 that night and then finishes up homework. So Munkin has him busy. We did see an interview with offensive coordinator Brent Davis this week. He seems excited about the offense and their ability to get explosive plays in scrimmage, and that's a really good sign. Dan, what's your take on that interview?
Yeah, just from the way these guys have been talking, Coach Munkin and Brent Davis both seem excited about the team. I mean, Munkin is notoriously difficult to read, right? The guy is like kind of deadpan all the time, not at least to the media, you know, obviously not in front of the team. We see he gets fired up, but in front of the media, you know, he's always like with the coach speak and not going to give too much away. But for him to say, oh, yeah, I'm satisfied, but, you know, we probably needed to make another play here or there, that's relatively high praise considering some of the other things that we've heard at this time of the season. I low-key think that he knows he's got a good team.
Does that make anyone nervous? And not in the sense that, like, you look at Navy and look at the issues they're having, and, oh, you're a little nervous, but it's kind of out of character. And so do you think they're confident with good reason, or do you think in year seven, maybe they're a little cocky or complacent? Rob?
No, I think there's something to be said about confidence, and as active as the players are on social media and everything else, it's always nice to get that sound bite, you know, and you got to think in college football, the sound bites are important. So if you put anything out on social media, everybody's going to be reading it, you know? So from a player's perspective, that's a good pat on the back for the other teams. That's kind of like a subtle, hey, here, we're coming after you, you know, just to give them the heads up that it's coming, but they didn't give too many details. So I think there's probably meaning behind that statement.
All right. Well, James, I want to get your thought on the next part. And, you know, in that interview, Coach Davis said that the offense works inside out, meaning that they establish the midline first, then they build out to pitches and outside runs. We know that. Yeah, obviously that's the triple option, but it's interesting to hear him talk about that philosophy because not all service academies do it that way. Navy does not do it that way at all, and you know, neither does Air Force, and frankly, not a lot of option teams do it that way. So, James, what's your thought on that, I guess, that soundbite, and then also the philosophy as a whole?
Well, first of all, I'd love to know more, but our dear friend blocked me on Twitter, so
yeah,
come
he
on,
blocked
man.
Us too. So
I know what's going on. We gotta reach out somehow and make amends. But no, it's super interesting. Obviously, this is a very Munkin type option. It's something that he had success with at Georgia Southern and knocked off Florida with. So Munkin and Davis obviously have this down. It is a somewhat unique in today's option game, but it's certainly Army style play, and it's what I want to see. You know, if I have the option between having a team that can do well on explosive plays more often but is inconsistent, and a team that can guarantee 4 yards, 3 to 4 yards at every play, I'm gonna take the team that can guarantee the 3 to 4 yards because it might not have that exciting big play, but it's gonna work.
No, I agree, and that's why I go to work every day instead of trying to play the lottery. I'd rather get a paycheck right. every 2 weeks than, you know, trying to win $1 million in the lottery.
And by the way, there are like there are times when somebody offers you odds that you have to take. And I think that perhaps Coach Davis can calculate that a bit better about when to take those odds, when to throw, when to go to the outside. But he's certainly done a phenomenal job at establishing the dive before anything else.
Okay. Rob, what do you think about this take to the option?
Yeah, I think it works well. And when you start looking about some of the athletes that we have in the quarterback position, particularly the taller guys with the more accurate arms, if you can establish that inside play first, then your play action is going to be a lot more effective. And we are used to seeing it over the years where Army kind of lulls you to sleep with the dive. And then out of nowhere, you know, you've got a 65-yard, and I guess 65-yard is probably a stretch, more like a 45-yard bomb coming out of the backfield in a pass. And so that kind of throws people off. And I think being able to establish that inside run game is going to help facilitate that play action pass. And so, hey, I'm all for if Army throws four times this year and it's for three touchdowns, I think that'll work for me. But I think establishing the inside game is good. And I also think that kind of subtly hints at improved interior line play. Mm-hmm. So I think we've got a lot of experience returning on the offensive line that doesn't really get accounted for in some of the preseason roll-ups. And I think that's going to be one of the most effective reasons why they're able to establish the dive first.
Yeah, I think that's a great point about improved line play. If we can keep people healthy, I think that's going to be the key to this season. However, we still don't know who's going to start at quarterback. Dan, you've been following that battle very closely. I know that you're a little biased towards some players, but in light of what Brent Davis said, does that change your opinion or solidify anything you're already thinking in terms of who's going to start week one?
Well, Coach Munkin has been asked about this a couple of times, and he said the guy who's going to start depends on who's the best person to run whatever they call first. So, you know, I don't know what to take away from that. I'm pretty sure that we're not going to know who's going to start until we get to game day. I do think it's interesting that Jabari Law seems to have worked his way directly back into the mix to be the starter. Pretty excited for that guy. But in terms of expectations, I'm trying not to have expectations. I'm just trying to let it come to me.
All right, Jordan, if I can butt in real quick, sure. this is a, you know, as unique as Army's option is, this is a direct product of that. Other options rely on very skilled players in key positions, be it a slot back or a quarterback, to make the option work and establish plays on the outside. There is a reason that there are six quarterbacks that could start the first play of Army football season this year, and we wouldn't be disappointed in any single one of them. And it's not because of the quarterback. Well, it's partially because of the quarterbacks themselves, but it's mostly because of the style of option. And there is a reason why Navy fans are just really hoping that Xavier Arline is good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, Navy's entire offensive philosophy is built off of, or at least since Keenan Reynolds, is built off of one guy being good. And they don't know who that one guy is. And they don't actually know if he's any good. But, you know, to your point, we really have a plug and play system. I think it speaks to the culture of an Army as a whole. That kind of next man up mentality of if someone does get hurt, okay, maybe make a couple of different reads, a couple of different adjustments, but largely the offense is still going to work no matter who's under center.
And I won't get too much into option philosophy, but the basic underlying principle is what you run a triple option offense because you lack recruiting. So really you lack size and skill. So you have to make up for it with consistency and deception. And for a triple option offense to be able to plug and play, like you're saying, is extremely valuable.
Yeah. And that's something that's really going to help us, you know, down the stretch after we play Wisconsin, after we play Wake Forest and we're in, you know, week 9, 10, 11, 12. That's when having depth at positions and then some flexibility is really going to pay dividends.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So moving on, we're going to go ahead and skip the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I'll recap the fact or fiction. I'm trying to keep this show a little shorter this week because not a lot to talk about. You want to watch football, and so we're going to give that to you. So season preview, last four games, If you missed it, we started our season preview series 2 weeks ago, going four games at a time. If you haven't heard that, go check it out. Our ninth game of the season is Bucknell. James, what's the deal?
FCS time. So their record in 2020 was 2-2 in the spring season. All of them were Patriot League games, including a conference championship that they went to in the Patriot League. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about Bucknell because Army fans don't want to hear it. Notable wins, not really anything. They beat Lafayette and Lehigh. That was it. Their sort of computer ranking, S&P Plus, doesn't rank them. The only real computer rankings are Sagarin's. He has them 241 out of a total 259 Division I programs. So not only are they an FCS team, but they're a bad FCS team who plays in perhaps the worst FCS conference. So hopefully it won't be close. The Army's 6-0 all time against them. Last was back in 2015. That was my plebe year. Last year, the streak, it was that 2-10 Munkin year before things absolutely exploded. That was one of their wins that year. Looking to stay undefeated. Betting line, obviously nothing's out there yet. But if we use, previous FCS matchups against comparable teams, I think 42, is a pretty safe line that Army will get against, Bucknell. They got a more generous line against Morgan State, and Citadel was 29 last year. Citadel's a bit more established, better FCS team. So, I think high 30s, low 40s is a pretty safe bet for a betting line that we'll see. Obviously, that'll depend on how Army and Bucknell do up to that point. The one thing to look for in this game is I think it's going to be a depth gauge game. You know, we're moving into the final three games of the season after this, and we're looking to maybe conserve, get some depth for the two big games at the end, Liberty and Navy. Maybe we'll see whoever QB1 ends up being, maybe we'll see them for a drive, maybe two drives. And then I think we'll start seeing the quarterback circus, or the carousel start moving, and not just the quarterback. I expect to see, slot backs getting moved out, O-linemen getting moved out and B backs as well. And I hope that we see a lot of it and we sort of get that depth gauge, can build the depth chart going into those final three games. But that's about all I have for you guys.
All right. I think that should probably be a fairly easy win for us, but Citadel held Alabama to 14 points in one half. So you never know. Dan, UMass is up. UMass was terrible, will probably be terrible, but go ahead and give us the rundown.
Oh, man. I remember 2 years ago, John Zott had UMass as one of his teams for our scouting report. And just reading his reports every single week, he's got more and more depressed as the year went on. So last year, the University of Massachusetts went 0-4 and obviously a truncated COVID season. They have not won a game since they beat Akron 37-29 way back on September 28th, 2019. In that year, they went 1-11. In 2018, they went 4-8. Which is their best result in recent memory. I actually went way, way back. You can't find a UMass winning season. They're just not there. Notable games last year. They'd put up 2 points against Florida Atlantic last year in 2020, which was like a relatively good offensive output for them. They put up 10 points somehow against Marshall. That was by far their best offensive performance of the season. They only lost to Marshall 51-10. So Oof. Yeah, that was like as good as it gets. So this team, for better or worse, they're just not good. They played three quarterbacks in 2020. They had a combined 54% overall completion percentage, one touchdown against five interception and 10 sacks. All rushers combined to average 2.0 yards per carry and zero TDs. That's just tough, man. Preseason projection has them the second worst out of 130 FBS teams.
Who's the worst? Is it UTEP?
It's definitely not UTEP. It's, I think it's New Mexico. I would have to look, to be honest with you. It's not UConn. I can tell you that.
UConn. Yeah. Okay. No,
UConn is, like 125th or something. Anyway. Yeah. So FBI projects UMass to win 2.5 games somehow. I would definitely take under 2.5. Their season win total over under is 1.5. That's with two FCS games on their schedule. I know they have Yale. I don't remember the other one. Betting line, Army ought to be at least a 3-touchdown favorite, and I would definitely take the Black Knights to cover that. You will recall one thing to look for in this game is that the Black Knights hung 60 in 2019. It was not a particularly good Black Knights team by comparison, and yet we still got to see all of our plebes make some plays, including future stars Jacoby Buchanan and Anthony Adkins. We saw Jamel Jones take some snaps in that game. So, you know, I think the big question for this game is who do we get to see this time and what does that sort of portend for the future?
Yeah. To your point, Dan, it'll be really interesting to see what younger guys kind of have a little run in, whether it's Bucknell and UMass or both, you know, going into the final two games of the season. So next to last game of the season, Rob, Liberty, Liberty University. There we go.
Yes, Liberty University. So truth and lending, I threw some shade on them earlier this season, but I may have to change my stance, but we'll talk about that some other time. Their record last year was 10-1. They only had one loss, and that was to NC State. The most notable win that they had was in the Cure Bowl, where they defeated a ninth-ranked Coastal Carolina team at 37-34 in overtime. Notes for this game, Liberty has had a lot of success against Conference USA in the ACC last year, which was pretty interesting. And they also have wins over Army's 2021 opponents, Western Kentucky and UMass. I don't know if that's a gauge of anything based off of their records last year. Current projected SP rank, they have them 54th and Army is 77th. So the slight edge goes to Liberty. And again, my one thing to watch is also the potential of Malik Willis. A projected record, they're going to have 10 wins in a bowl game. College News is slating that Army is a trap game for them. However, they're given a slight edge due to the fact that it's a home game for Liberty. And the betting line, Liberty is currently a 68% chance of winning. So I'm going to say that's going to give them a minus 14. But I think Army will cover, and I think they'll keep it a lot closer. And again, the one thing to watch is Malik Willis. They are talking about him interest-wise. Pretty similar to like a Lamar Jackson, since he's a dual threat quarterback with a decent arm and some decent numbers over the past couple of seasons. So I think they're not rating him as high in the draft as Lamar Jackson. But again, there's still people looking at him to fit into an offense very, very similarly as Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. So I think this will be a good test for Army, and it'll also be another great opportunity if Navy's quarterback does, in fact, show up. If Army can contain him or keep Malik Willis off the field, that may be a great indicator into the final game of the season, which is Navy. And I will kick it over to you, Jordan.
Thanks, Rob. So Navy was 3-7 last year, a little bit of a rebuilding year, which seems to be a trend over the last couple of years. Notable wins, Tulane, Temple, and ECU. Those are notable because those were their only three wins. Couple notes. Cameron Kinley was waived by the Bucks, so he was a slot back?
Safety. He's a defensive player.
Yes. And initially they said that he could go pro, and then they said he couldn't, and there was quite an outcry from Naval Academy alumni, and a bunch of phone calls were made, and he ended up being able to go to the Bucks minicamp, and then was just cut. So unfortunate for him, but you know, you always like to see Navy fans get upset, but it is sad that, you know, this kid didn't get the opportunity. Also, probably bigger, Jamel Carruthers, who was one of their fullbacks last year and one of the top two rushers and touchdown scorers last year, has left the program to transfer to Western Kentucky. So Nelson Smith has graduated, and he was the two of them pretty much for the entire offense last year. Both of them are no longer with the program. And buzzer on the program right now is their Marine Corps uniforms. So they've finally figured out that making uniforms after countertops and goats is not a good strategy. And they've tapped into the other half of their fan base, which is the Marine Corps. Although it is a little weird, they're wearing a Marine uniform. This is Navy on the front. obviously, it's the Navy universe, like, I get it. But everything's Marine Corps, Marine Corps, Marine Corps. And the only thing you see on the front of the uniform, it doesn't say Marines, it says Navy. So,
yeah, but there's a little scrawl underneath the collar, I think, that says Men's Department of the Navy.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you want to tick off a Marine, you just tell them they're part of the Navy, and they'll go ballistic. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, my father was a Marine. This would have driven him bananas. I can assure you.
Yeah.
He wasn't a Navy fan anyway, but I'm telling you, that would have driven him bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I just got. Oh, go ahead. I was going to jump in real quick, but I just had one other point on Cameron Kinley. Like, hey, look, everybody likes to watch Navy fans get upset, but I hope for that young man's sake, he did get an autograph from Gronkowski and the GOAT, Tom Brady. You know, as much as I can't stand Tom Brady, like if I had an opportunity to get an autograph like practice jersey from that dude, I would be all over that.
Yeah, it's like when you don't vote for, you know, whatever politician and they still want to come speak somewhere. It's like, well, you know, they still hold the office. So now I got to say, if Urban Meyer tried to hand me an autograph, nah, I don't know. Yeah, that's Ohio State. So.
Jordan, one more thing about the uniforms. I was initially not a fan, but then Air Force released their uniforms, and comparatively, Navy's look phenomenal. So,
oh, really?
Air Force just rips up our uniforms every year. Theirs is a slightly different color scheme from our first Cav uniforms 2 years ago.
I thought they were all right.
It's insane. Well, it's supposed to be a B-52 uniform, and nothing about it screams B-52. Not one thing. So I don't get it. I don't think they look good. It's like it's a white jersey and the numbers are in like a weird camo that's never actually been a part of the armed forces. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell them.
Well, this might be a conversation. Go ahead.
They should stick to wearing army uniforms.
This might be a conversation for another time, but I thought it was, you know, relatively bold of them to pick a bomber command and not a fighter command. I thought that was laudable, to be honest with you. But I like the uniforms way better than you did. But anyway, Jordan, finish telling us about Navy.
Thanks. So S&P Plus rank is 112. Projected record, I have seen a couple different numbers. Saw one analysis that has them at 6-6. Maybe ESPN has it at 2.3 wins, 9.7 losses. So if you look through their schedule, they have Marshall, Air Force, Houston, UCF, Memphis, SMU, Cincinnati, Tulsa, Notre Dame, and us. So those are all the good teams. And then they have Eastern Carolina and Temple. And both of those are in rebuilding phases. Temple actually might be somewhat decent this year. So it's very possible that if by the end of the season they have a lot of injuries, they could not win a football game. But I don't want to put that out there in the universe. I don't want to jinx it. But regardless, it might be a tough season to be a Navy fan.
Oh, over under 3.5 wins, right?
Their schedule is so hard. If they make a bowl this year, Xavier Arline is twice as good as Malcolm Perry.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Biggest thing to look for in this game, well, one would be, who's going to start at quarterback and how good are they going to be? And two, they lost their fullbacks. And that's kind of the Navy fallback. Obviously, they build everything around the quarterback, but that fullback does play a big role in their offense. So who do they have at quarterback? And also, can Diego Fago stay healthy on defense? Because once again, he's their whole defense. So that is it for our season preview. Dan, I believe that you have a fact or fiction for us.
Yeah, well, after foregoing his dream of playing both football and lacrosse at the Naval Academy, former starting quarterback Xavier Arline now looks like he may sit the bench to start the season because he's in the fight of his life to be the starting quarterback. And I don't remember who it was that they had slated ahead of him right now. But, yeah, so I think it's Ty Lavate, I think is the kid's name. But anyway, fact or fiction. Xavier Arline sits the bench to start the season for the Mids. And I guess we'll start with James.
I think it's a dirty trick by Ken. I don't think there's any way that Xavier Arline doesn't start the first game. I mean, I'll preface this with that Nima Tololo made a horrendous decision at quarterback to start last season. So anything is possible, but there were two quarterbacks that had significant snaps last year that are back. Tyler Gosselin is at slot back now, and the only one left is Xavier Arline. I think he starts the first game. I'll go fact.
All right. So before we go on, I would like to point out that Levante, and I apologize. I know I'm saying that right. I know I'm saying that wrong. But anyway, he is 6'2", 210, and supposedly has a better arm than Arline. So let me just throw that out there. Jordan?
I think it's – I'm going to say fiction. I think he's going to start.
All right. Rob?
I want to say fact. I think given the horrendous woes that they had last year in the quarterback position, I think they'll give the young guy a shot. If he gets bruised up too badly, then you have a veteran to come in off the bench to kind of spell him, vice starting your potential number one and having him get hurt. So I'm going to go with fact.
Oh, interesting. Hadn't really thought about it that way. Yeah, I think just from reading the press, it just doesn't sound like Arline has got the job locked down. So I'm going to say fact as well. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
All right, so I guess we're at the end of fact of fiction, and I think have to close the show with our favorite thing. So first of all, how to support the show. Tell your friends. Let everybody know that we're out here doing Army football coverage for Army football fans. That's one of the things that really brought me on to Ask for Football, and I enjoy working with the team here. And I think getting the word out to as many people as you can would be helpful. Pump those numbers, leave a review, and get us to the top of college sports. And my favorite thing is this week working on the show. So I'll pass it to James.
Yeah, my favorite thing is we're, 6 days away as we're recording this from college football? Yeah, so man. I'm getting ready to set up the TVs. Five, yeah. Get ready for week zero.
My favorite thing is that I did not get my house flattened by a hurricane, as we already discussed. And I'm going to love that for the rest of the day. So thanks a lot. Yeah, definitely. Tell your friends, everybody.
Yep, my favorite thing is that I bought a house. I'm a homeowner with a big boy mortgage. So
is this your first house? First time you bought a house?
It is my first house. Congratulations, Jordan. Thank you. So make sure you like and subscribe and become a Patreon. So
yeah.
I can maybe start making money off of this.
Pay that mortgage.
Should not be homeless. That'd be great.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, everybody. Go Army, beat Navy.
Beat them.
Ask for Football would like to thank you for your continued support of the Army Football Podcast, Ask for Football, and Army Athletics. You can find us across all platforms of social media at Ask for Football. And as always, we would like to thank our sponsor, Emblem Athletic. Emblem Athletic is the source for all your custom sporting good needs. Be a gear hero for your unit today. Visit EmblemAthletic.com. Join the Ask for Football team for our next episode, coming soon to a podcast platform near you.